know, just a preacher say, hey, I brought three or four guys. Are you going to do your fundamentalist thing? I said, come on. I'm a little deeper than that, you know. And it's just kind of an intro. I kind of warm things up. But I want you to know this morning, this afternoon, I am still a Bible fundamentalist. I drink my coffee black. None of the flavoring, none of that foo-foo kind of stuff. That's because I'm a Bible fundamentalist. I cut my own hair. That's because I'm a Bible fundamentalist. John Wayne is my hero. That's because I'm a Bible fundamentalist. I hate cell phones. That's because I'm a Bible fundamentalist. I love rock-ribbed, snot running from your nose, big-hit American football. And I still believe that soccer is part of the communist infiltration of America. Because I'm a Bible fundamentalist. You know, as a fundamentalist, we struggle with change. And thank God for Brother McMorris and Myo Baptist Church and every one of you guys that aren't involved in, oh, we got to change some. I noticed there's been some changes around here. This is painted a little different up here than last year, isn't it? Yes, I am. Those things over in the wall kind of make me nervous. I don't know what those things are. Yeah. And did you know that Brother McMorris, did you see, he was using one of those fancy... Yeah, that bothers me. But Brother Monty and I, we got these lapel mics going. That's what we got, yeah. What are you gonna use, Rusty? Oh, okay, so it's a split crowd here this afternoon. Let me just say two things very quickly. Number one, Kobiak is not here, and Canaan Land is. And I think maybe it's because Kobiak really don't love you guys. No, Kobiak is a great camp, and we do. We go to snow camps there and different things. But take one of these brochures from Canaan Land over there. We're really getting it rolling. We've been around 20 years, but Greg Cromie is now our camp director, and we've expanded to 4 weeks, and we are a local church camp, and we are fundamentalists. Not bad attitude fundamentalists, but we're Bible fundamentalists. And Canaan Land originally was started, it's right out of our church, and we inherited the grounds themselves from an old preacher named Kinnaman Crawford. He went to Bob Jones College. He's been gone to heaven for a few years now. But he gave us the property, and every year it's gotten a little better. Some of you guys are involved in it. Some of you guys are, on the board. And there's 4 weeks of camp. We've got Justin Gentry, Al Stone, Captain Canada, and we even allow some Canadians. Where are the Canadians at? Right here. You know, we're right up there on the border. And lots of Canadian jokes in Kinross. And I was looking at some of our young men. I don't think any of you guys, none of your Canadian heritage, are you? We've got some split, we got some half and half families in our church and that kind of thing. But we believe that Jesus changes lives. And we allow them to come to our church as well. $97. 97 bucks is all Canaan Land is. And truthfully, if you have a camper and they don't have the money, send them, all right? It's a ministry. We're just trying to do all we can. And grab those brochures, please, on the way out. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. There's one other thing I wanted to say. We have a revival meeting coming up, if I could just mention it. I know you'll be in your church on Sunday and your church on Wednesday, but May the 3rd, which is a Sunday, through the 6th, which is a Wednesday, we have Dr. Joe Arthur and Shelton Smith. They'll be tag teaming the revival meetings. And you are welcome to come. In fact, on Monday, we'll have a big dinner at 5:30. If you need a place to stay, we have that mission house. And I think we could, there's like 7 apartments on the second floor, one on the first floor, and then we got like a dormitory on the third floor. And if you'd call us, we'll set aside a room for you. If you want to stay for one night, Monday night, or if you want to stay over through Tuesday night, you're welcome to come. We would love to have you. Man, this has been good stuff this morning. And I feel a little bit inadequate, and Rusty and I have already talked about it. Brother Mark Monte is a preacher, and I'm familiar with his ministry, and he's deeper than I am. So what I want to share almost looks kindergartenish as I look at it, but that's kind of who I am, and that's where I'm from. You know, I minister to youpers. You understand that, right? All right, so. You don't have to be real deep, and you can wow them by just defining a word once in a while. And that's me. I look the word up, and then I define it, do the best I can. Preaching is an art. It is. It's an art. I love what Brother Monty said. You know, develop yourself. Don't be satisfied with where you are. There's more to learn. One thing we learned in that first hour, that first session, is that Brother McMorris said he wanted to learn more, but then he let the cat out of the bag. He's 63 years old. It's almost too late, brother. 63, that's hard to believe. And I'm a young 58. I am. And yeah, I am. That's true. The way of the transgressor is hard. Rusty, how old are you? 58? You better not be younger than us. Oh, man. Well, look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Preaching is an art. And I want to tell you, just share a few things. Don't leave God out of your preaching. Say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? I'll get to that in just a moment. And if you're not teaching, I like what I heard this morning, you're not preaching. If all you're doing is sound bites, man, that's not teaching and preaching the Word of God. And really, that is what people come for. I say a big, great big amen to everything that I've heard this morning. And what a blessing it is. Fundamental Baptist Church is Fundamental Baptist Church because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of the Word of God. People come to church, and a lot of you have been there. How many of you have been there? You've been there? Any on a Sunday? How many have been there on a Sunday? Man, they come from all over. The church building fills up. We had a visitor there Sunday morning from out of town and said, Preacher, I only got one complaint. You got to make a bigger parking lot. I had to park way over there. You know, the place fills up, but they don't fill up, just like Brother McMorris said, they don't fill up to hear funny stories. They don't come to the building to have me wow them with my personality. They come for the Word of God. I don't always do a great job preaching it, but they come for the Word of God. I think the greatest compliment that was ever paid to me was a man in our church by the name of Richard Lovegrove, who went to an ordination council over in Wisconsin. He came back and he said, Pastor, I want you to know something. I could answer every question they asked. And that's from our adult Sunday school class. I said, you really? I said, Richard, that is a wonderful, the best compliment anybody's ever paid to me, ever. I won't go too far in that direction. So it's Bible, Bible, Bible. And by the way, I am a King James guy. I'm a Textus Receptus man. And there's a young man in our church, he's at walk rate right now, and a lot of times we don't always appreciate him because he's just a... I shouldn't have said that. Some of his friends are here. Okay, forget. I didn't do that. Just kind of back that up. If that gets back to his parents, you are dead. You are dead. But he came up to me afterwards, and he's got it squared away in the King James Version. And I preached on, I don't know what it was, or taught, and I don't even know the situation. But afterwards, he came up to me and said, Pastor, preaching the King James is kind of like coffee. I said, really? Zach, how is that? He said, well, if you just keep adding, you just add more and more water to it, you dilute it and drink another cup and drink another. If you add enough water, pretty soon it's not coffee anymore. And he said, that's what all these new translations are about. I said, Zach, you've got it nailed right down. That is it. So it's Bible, Bible, Bible. The schedule on our church, I'll just share this with you very quick before we get to some text here, is in Sunday school, verse by verse. Sunday morning, I preach it's exegetic, but I call it textual. And I do. I try to preach a chapter or a passage. And I want everybody to remember what's in that passage. That's what I want them to remember. I want them to connect so that, you know, if I preach on whatever I preach on, they know where to look in the Bible and it connects and it all fits together. And I'm not really worried about my little old pathetic outline. It's not like they all got to start with the letter P. You know, who cares? What matters is that they remember the Word of God. They remember the Bible. Bible, Bible, Bible. So, and then Sunday evening, I preach through books. Wednesday night, I'm preaching through the Psalms. And we just kind of do that over and over and over again. And I'm not against topical preaching. I'll preach a topical message. But I want them to get the Bible. I want them to know what the Scripture says. But there have been times when I've preached less than good messages. How many here have ever preached a message and you thought it was as flat as could be? Okay, all right, so I'm among friends. And, you know, laid an egg. I know you've heard this story about the preacher and his wife, and the preacher looked in the back of the closet on the floor behind some boxes. He found a little shoebox with the letters "Keep Out" on it. Well, he's never kept any secrets from his wife, and he wondered what's going on. And he pulled his box out, and he looks in it, and what he found was 3 eggs and $97. He said, I got to know. He went to his wife and said, "Honey, we haven't kept any secrets from one another, and I found that shoebox." And she kind of looked at him. She said, "Well, you weren't supposed to see that." He said, "What's it all about?" He said, "Well, if you need to know, every time you preached a bad message, you laid an egg. I took an egg and I put it in that shoebox." And he's thinking, 35 years of ministry, 3 eggs, that's not too bad. He said, "Well, what was the $97 for?" She said, "Every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them for $1. And how many times I've done that? And the last thing you want to hear, the last thing you want after a message like that is pity. That's the last thing I want. I don't want somebody to come up to me and, "Oh, he did a good job," or "bless his heart." You know what they're saying? The guy's harmless. You know, he's the village idiot. You know, just let it go. Or somebody, and this is the way it works at my church because they know how I feel about it. Somebody will come up and stick their hand out and say, "Nice speech, Reverend." "Oh, I hate that. I hate that." You know, and you know when you preach a bad one. But how many have experienced this? You preach on baptism, and somebody gets saved. You preach on, just pick a topic, and you hardly even get to the gospel. You put it in there, but you hardly even get to it, and there's a great victory where a whole family comes to Christ. You know what that is? That is God blessing His Word. And that's what we are called to do. Now, I wanted to say this. Don't leave God out of your message. I want you to know, you see my little outline there in the booklet? Wonderful, isn't it? Little title there. "The Comforter has come." Oh, that's original with me too. You know, I just thought of those words. It's a great song, "The Comforter has come." We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit of God to help us in the ministry. Bible, Bible, Bible. Preach the Word of God. It is an art. Surrender what you have to God and study and get better at it. Communicate the Scriptures. If you're not teaching, you're not preaching. But don't leave God out of it. We need the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, I've been preaching through the book of Acts, and last Sunday night in Acts in chapter 19, the city of Ephesus, and remember how the mob got going? "Great is Diana! Great is Diana!" For 2 hours they chanted that, and I told the people, it's a pretty pitiful God that you have to protect, and you have to defend, and you have to carry. I worship the Lord God Jehovah. Man, I don't have to carry my God. I don't have to protect my God. I just preach the Bible, and God takes care of the rest. My brother Bud, who's a missionary in Bolivia, been down there for over 30 years, I remember him saying this before he went on his first term down there in the country of Bolivia. He said, "The Bible is kind of like a lion in a cage. You don't have to defend him. Just open the door. Just let it go. And then God is going to change people's lives. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, all that being said, and you develop these great little outlines, and we all do it, and you're going to do your best to communicate the Word of God, spend some time on your knees asking for the third person of the Trinity to enable you and empower you in what you are striving to share. And John in chapter 14, let me read quite a few verses here out of this chapter and a little bit out of the next chapter. I'll read through verse 18. And my purpose here this afternoon is to encourage you. I want you to take heart, weary Christian, and rally around the flag, soldiers of grace. And in the day when it seems like so many churches are drifting left, and that's the natural progression, that's the way of the world, that's the way of man. We shouldn't be surprised at that. There needs to be churches that are exalting Jesus Christ, and those New Testament churches need to be led by Spirit-filled pastors. That's why God has called you to be an under-shepherd. It is Lee Robertson always used to say this. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Now, we understand it's God that does it all. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But God has called you and God has called me to be an under-shepherd to be a spiritual leader, to be the one that isn't afraid and stand up and be different than the culture, because I'm telling you, the church is getting more and more worldly all of the time. These are the last days that we're living in, and I'm not discouraged. In fact, it encourages me. To me, there's just greater opportunities. We were talking last night to some of the pastors there and staying in the lodge, a beautiful home. And I am determined by the grace of God, no matter what, to allow God to build His church in Kinross, Michigan. And all of a sudden, we are the alternative. Because every denominational church and every weak sister church that's drifting left, they're changing. And by holding to the truth, you said it this morning, people are hungry for that. They're looking for the real McCoy. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and you know this is Jesus speaking, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, paraclete, helper, comes alongside, that he may abide with you forever. God hasn't left us alone. I know it's a big, bad world that we live in. And I know that the culture is getting darker and darker. That just means where there's light, it'll shine farther and farther. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, they don't understand, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or orphaned. I will come to you. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Look at chapter 16. Allow me to read 14 verses. All right, try not to stray too much. All right. Verse 1 of chapter 16. And this is between the Last Supper and Gethsemane. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended or scandalized. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Jesus never said it would be easy. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say, unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. It says that four times in the Gospel of John. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Comforter has come. You probably know where I'm going to go next. I know you know the text, but let's look at it. Acts in chapter 2. Let's go there. Acts chapter 2. Let me pray while you're turning. Father in heaven, we come to you, and God, I pray that you just help the truth to be pounded home. We pray that it would ring. God, that we would not forget. Lord, that none of us here would be discouraged to the point where we think we're all by ourselves and nobody else is really serving you any longer. And we know that's not true. Thank you that you didn't leave us alone. You gave to us the Bible. You didn't just leave us here in the dark. You gave to us the Holy Spirit. You've ordained the New Testament church. We have much to be thankful for. And God, we praise you for it. Encourage that pastor that's here today that perhaps has gotten a little bit dry. A deadness has set in. It can be paralyzing. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come alongside and encourage that man of God this very day. And as a result, change that church. We all need you. And none of us have arrived. And we ask for your best in Christ's name. Amen. People are saved all the time at Fundamental Baptist Church. We are in the country. We have no metropolis around us. I think, Josh, maybe you can correct me, Kinross is about 1,000 people. Well, actually, there's about 5,000 people there, but most of them are behind the fence, all right? And I'm quite sure if we sent our buses over, a bus or two over there, we could fill them right up every single service. But they don't allow us to do that. So we're in a small area, but we're kind of like, here's the Upper Peninsula right here, and here's the Lower Peninsula. We're right here, and we're right in the middle of Chippewa County. And we have people that come really literally from an hour in almost every direction come to Fundamental Baptist Church. There aren't a lot of churches up there. There's not a lot of competition that way. There's not a lot of church hopping. It does happen from time to time. But the truth is, we're almost the only show in town, if I could just bring it down to that level, all right? But people have learned over the years. I'm in my 34th year, and it, not all because of me. And before me was a man named Harvey Hafner. They have learned over the years, if I want to hear the Bible, I'm going to go to Fundamental Baptist Church. And it's amazing how people have come full circle. People get mad, they leave the church, and there's not really anywhere else to go, and they kind of float around for a while, and then I leave the door open with force, and then they end up coming back. That's the greatness of God. We have a great privilege up there of not being, I can be every other Bible fundamentalist's dearest friend, because you're all 3 hours away. There's no problem. You know, we don't step on one another along the way. But people get saved almost all the time. And I'm thinking of 3 weeks ago where an 84-year-old man by the name of Al and his wife Lou both received Christ as their Savior. They walked the aisle, and 2 Sunday nights ago I baptized him. And I'm telling you, he is so on fire. He struggled with eternal security initially, but he's got it down now. Excuse me. And what? Not a church service. There hasn't been a church service that he's been in on the way out, except he tells me, I love you. He's 84 years old. Man, he knows, and he told me, he said, I don't know anything about the Bible. Bono, don't you like getting those kind of people? I hope God gives him a decade. I really do. Or even more, because he's on fire for God. A week ago, a man by the name of James, who was in his 70s, it was like, things kind of cycle like that, he walked the aisle and he got saved. And normally out in the foyer, I'm introducing, hey, this is so-and-so. He just got saved this morning. This is so-and-so over here. He's a Sunday school teacher. And I introduce him. Well, I went to introduce James, who had just gotten saved. And he's got Kentucky in his background. I don't know how he got to the Upper Peninsula, but he's been up there for years and years and years. And I said, hey, this is James. And before I could say anything more, he stuck his hand out and said, I just got saved. You know, and it's just effervescent. It's real. That's God the Holy Spirit. Actually working in hearts. Acts in chapter 2. That's where I had you turn, isn't it? Acts in chapter 2. That joy we have in Christ, don't ever get over it. Don't ever get over it. I think of what the psalmist said. When he talked, God, he said, Lord God, this isn't an exact quote. You're too wonderful for me. You know everything about me. And yet you still love me. Don't ever get over Calvary. Don't ever, no matter what you preach, always get the gospel in there, and don't ever get over the cross. I'm all about, I struggle with change, I do. And I'm all about being the fundamentalist and holding the line and even to the point of being a stuffed shirt from time to time. And that, I'm all about that. But understand what I'm saying when I say this. Sometimes we're so concerned about our fundamentalism, crossing every T and dotting every I, we miss the joy of salvation. The wonder of the family of God. We miss really what it's all about. Reach out to people. They're all around us. They're out there in the bush. They're out there in the woods. You go find them. And even if they've rejected in the past, they've lived a little bit of life since then. People are looking for the truth. Acts chapter 2, let's read more about that Holy Spirit before we go any further. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. What a day that must have been. The birthday of the church. When the Holy Spirit came down. One Pentecost, it happened one time. The Holy Spirit came down and He energizes the church. He enables the church. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send someone to you, the third person of the Trinity. He'll come alongside you and He's going to enable you in the ministry. I'm so glad we're not alone. In my darkest night, I'm not alone. In my deepest valley, I am not alone. In my loneliest moments, I have God, the Holy Spirit. This is the church age. And if there is a doctrine that is misrepresented and misunderstood, it's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I think among fundamental Baptists, it's probably the best kept secret of the church. Some of us are actually afraid of the Holy Spirit because of some of our charismatic brethren and charlatans that are around us and others that kind of manipulate God like He's some kind of trick dog. Or, you know, and try to get what they want. We heard a little bit about that this morning. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. And He'll be with you forever. I love that. There's several texts of Scripture that I think it'd be good for us to look at. And in order to hurry this along, so I'm going to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to have you read it. I'm not really preaching. I'm kind of preaching, teaching kind of thing here this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Who's going to get that for me? I'll call on you in a moment. I just need somebody to read it. Okay, you got it. All right. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Who can get that for us? You got it. All right. We'll just go that far right now. The Holy Spirit, I do have an outline here from an old message. He saves, He stays, He secures, He strengthens. He baptizes, in other words, baptizes us into the family of God. He indwells us, He seals us, and then He infills and enables us for the ministry that is before us. And I'm telling you, don't be afraid of God, the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent God the Son, and then God the Son ascended on up into heaven, and then God the Spirit came down to this earth. And in this church age in which we live, He's what makes us tick. He's what makes us grow. Who's got that first text, 1 Corinthians 12, 13? Would you stand up and read it loud? Okay, so the day I got saved, I'm not telling you anything new. I know that. But the day I got saved, I was immersed. I was baptized into the family of God by God the Holy Spirit. I didn't get baptized for a couple of years, but I was in. I was baptized into the family of God. I was immersed by the God the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Who's got that? Go ahead. All right, Christ indwelling us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He indwells us. He lives within us. So I've got God the Holy Spirit who's immersed me, who's baptized me into the family of God. I've got God the Holy Spirit who indwells me. Take your Bibles, let's all turn to Ephesians in chapter 1. And I have God the Holy Spirit who keeps me, He seals me. And what a wonderful truth that is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Jesus saves, keeps, and satisfies. When there's no one else, as a child of God, there's God. When there's nowhere else, there is God. I've lived some pretty dark days in my life. We all have. Tragedy comes from time to time. I can think of several. God was there every step of the way. When my kid brother was killed, electrocuted when he was 19. I was out on visitation. I was the first one to come up on he and my father. They were pulling up a well casing and it bent over and hit a power line. And Jody was about 6'2", so his hands were a little bit above dad. And all that electricity came down there and blew the bottom out of my dad's feet. And he laid there and actually we thought he was the one that was dead. And my brother Jody as soon as it happened, you know, he's on the ground, and he lifted his head, he looked at me, and he smiled and laid his head back down. And I thought he was fine. Then Dad got up. God knew that Dad needed to be around a little while longer. And he said, what a great church member he is. And my brother Jody, he went home to heaven. I didn't go visit the grave for 6 months, other than the burial. Boy, it's tough. I cried myself to sleep for weeks. Only person to do that was my wife. I just had a hard time getting by. Last thing I did with my brother Jody the night before was borrow $10 from him. So I still owe him. I expect when I walk through the gate, he's going to be there. I'm going to try to have one with me. Because I know he'll be able to spend it in heaven, right? But just dark days, other days, difficulties, relationships. I remember one time specifically where the only thing that helped me was the Word of God. My heart was broken in 1,000 pieces. I was beside myself. I hid it, but I'd sit up kitchen table in the wee hours of the morning. And I want you to know where I found solace. I found it in the Word of God. I found peace in God the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at chapter 4 in the same book, verse 30. Chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I am secure in Christ. In this changing world, in this storms coming from every direction, compromise, you know, always being tempted with by way of compromise and false doctrine, and sometimes the world's culture is overwhelming. I am completely secure in Christ. Not only do I know where I'm going, I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm immersed into the family of God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 22, I'm in Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Christ is in me. And Ephesians 1:13, I am sealed by God the Holy Spirit. So there is no reason whatsoever for you or I as under-shepherds to feel like we're all alone in this world. We need to stand up and just do what's right, be filled with the Spirit of God, and allow God to use us. If, and it's not true, the devil will whisper in your ear that it is, but it's not. If you're the only man of God that stands for the truth, let God be true and all men a liar. Stand for the truth. God did not call us to be popular. How many prophets of God in the Old Testament were popular? You ever think about that? Didn't end real good for some of them here on this earth. But God has always had a people. And in God's great, infinite wisdom, the church age is His idea. It's His idea. He said, the Son's going to come. My Son's going to come. He's going to shed His blood. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to go to the grave. He's going to take the handwriting of the ordinances that's written against us. He's going to take it, my sin, right on down to the grave. And then He's going to leave it there and as a corpse. And He's going to rise again on the third day. And then He's going to ascend up into heaven. And then God the Spirit is going to descend down to this earth. And the church is going to be born. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I am determined. I just know the God of heaven. And listen, we need to be people of vision. Now, how much more time do I have? 10 minutes? 15? 5? 2? Go to Psalm 60. Psalm 60, very quickly. Psalm 60. I just want to read this. It's what a tremendous passage of Scripture. Hold that. Somebody hold that bell ringer for just a moment, all right? Okay. I could do it this quick. I think. By the way, you get filled with the Spirit. I was going to preach this. The Holy Spirit enables us. And Paul laid claim to that. God has allowed me to do things and helped me to do things that I could not do on my own. And if you will lead your people and be real people, just this, just this last winter, we had our septic tank system, and of course it had to be in January, and we had to dig it up. And man, I was down in that septic tank, and we had a series of two tanks and a huge drain field. We've got five or six buildings on the ground, so it gets we at any rate, it was so full that that one tank is down there about 10 feet, and we've got this tunnel that comes up. That tunnel was full. It popped the top of the septic tank off, and it was up. And you know what? By our men seeing the preacher down in that septic tank. Now, if you'll become a true servant of God, if you'll lead your men and your women, when your men see something like that, they'll follow you to the very gates of hell. You say, why would you get down there? It had to be God. It had to be. God will enable us for every situation. Psalm 60. Let me summarize it, and I'm going to just read a portion of it. David is writing the 60th Psalm as an old man, but he's looking back to when he was a young man. Although he was anointed king over Israel, he wasn't king over all of Israel at this point. In fact, it was just the tribe of Judah. Some of Saul's son was still there, and Joab was still around. There was a little bit of turmoil there, and there were battles that were going on in Mesopotamia and battles going on in Syria. In fact, one biblical proportion battles where 12,000 men were killed at one time, and all these battles are going on. And David, Psalm 60, is David's vision for Israel when he's a young man. And let me just read just the latter part, verse 6, God hath spoken in His holiness, I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, wasn't yet his, that's unfinished business, and mete out the valley of Succoth, and Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine, they weren't as yet, Ephraim also was the strength of my head, Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I cast out my shoe, Philistia triumph thou because of me. He's saying all this in faith, and then rhetorically he says, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our enemies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. He said this in faith. This was his vision for Israel. And I'm going to close in prayer. Have you lost your vision? Michigan is in the balances. I've said this different places before. Just think of all the churches that were once fundamental. All the churches that were fundamentalist churches from 25 years ago were still in the camp. This would be a different state. Have you lost your vision? Your county, your town, your people. There's more to be done. But don't leave God out. Preach good messages. But make sure you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Father,